I didn't know what to name this sermon and message today, because there's some of both. There's some of our natural, sinful state, which is sinners, right? We're all sinners. And there's some of our heavenly state, which is we're all redeemed if we know Jesus. So I put down our sorry state. 1 Corinthians 15:45 through 49. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. Then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Look at verse 49. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we also will bear the image of the heavenly. Just because we are humans, we sin, but if you have made Jesus Lord of your life, we become heavenly, righteous in his sight. Lord, I thank you for this day. And Lord, as we celebrate you and worship you today, Lord, I pray that your name will be lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Romans 7, we're going to finish chapter 7 today, starting with verse 21 through 25. It says, I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of his death. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, I am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Does your life get messy? Then listen to this.
I've heard it. You've heard it. It's time for a new beginning. Time to start a fresh page or paint a new picture with our life. Sounds great in theory, but it can seem impossible. Life is messy. The lines have gotten blurred. Maybe we just don't know where to start. We look at the canvas of our lives and see mistake after mistake after mistake. It's overwhelming. When I look at my life with these messy lines and scribbles, it makes me think, is this as good as it gets? There's no eraser that can make this life make sense. But what if? What if there was someone that could make sense of our mess? They could take all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our missed opportunities, and make them into a masterpiece. And then I remember, there is Jesus. He gives us a new life. Every day is new. Every day is a blank canvas full of possibility and promise. He takes our canvases, our lives that have been filled up with shortcomings, secrets, tragedies, and embarrassments, and he helps them make sense. When I look at the canvas of my life and I see nothing but disorder and chaos, I have to remember this. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace. And you know what? He wants to take my hand and bring peace to the canvas of my life. So as we seek to make our mark, let us give God all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our hurts, and trust that He will turn our messy lives into a masterpiece. His masterpiece.
Lord, I thank You for this little video as a reminder that no matter how bad we've messed things up or how ugly our life gets, that You are in the business of creating masterpieces. We simply want to serve You today, Lord. Pray that You'll teach us and use us in spite of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last several weeks we've learned several things that I just want to touch on. We learned that our sin must become utterly sinful in our lives before we can turn from our sin. We need to realize that our sin is utterly sinful and shameful. And Jesus has already paid the price for our sins, and He is our commander in chief. We need to listen to what He has for us. Satan has come to kill and destroy. So we need to be ready for his attacks and put on the full armor of God. We need to remember Ephesians 6, 26 and 27 that says that we should not give the devil a foothold or an opportunity. We need to confess our sins and move on. Leave the past and leave the past alone. Don't keep digging it up. So let's look at verse 21. Romans 7, 21. As we go through the text today, keep your fingers in Romans 7. It says, I find the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. What he's saying is, I want to do good, but the evil is still there inside of me. There are some folks that I've talked to that think that people are basically good and that people are getting better all the time. And I say to that, well, part of that is right. We were created perfect in the garden, but sin happened. And because of that, we are not created perfect. We are sinful. We are sinful creations when we are born into sin. What would happen if you left a child unteachable? If you didn't teach a child? Or if you didn't train a child in the way they ought to go? Or if you planted a vineyard, or if you planted a garden and you tilled it up and you planted the nice straight rows and everything was perfect and then you just step back? What would happen to it? Gardeners, what would happen? Huh? It would be, God would decide what he was going to grow, wouldn't it? We need to decide what's going to be inside of us. We need to do the input part. Paul says in verse 21 that no matter what he does, he still finds evil present in him. But he wants to do good. But he wants to do good. It's the same with us. We want to do good, but our sinful, shameful nature takes over. So we need to cultivate our faith in Jesus Christ and do what Mary, remember Mary and Martha? Jesus was at their house and Jesus was teaching. What was Martha doing? Huh? He was busy in the kitchen with so many responsibilities to do. And she comes to Jesus and she kind of whines just a little bit. Lord, can you tell Mary to help me? What does Jesus say? Mary has chosen the better thing, to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that's what we need to do, friends. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Romans 7, verse 22 and 23 say, For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. How many of you remember, and I don't think it was actually out that long, there was a song, it was a children's song, and it was titled Input Output.
I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Think about things that are above, not things that are on the earth. Have the same mind among you that Christ Jesus had.
Thank you. Input, output, what goes in must come out. Input, output, that is what it's all about. Input, output, your mind is a computer whose input, output daily you must choose. Now that's exactly what we're trying to say today. You decide how you're going to act. Every day. By making decisions, what goes into your mind? Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So what are you going to put into your mind? I remember when I was in junior high, we would get the Sunday paper in Shakopee, Minnesota. The Sunday paper was about that thick, and it had all kinds of advertisements in there. And being a normal junior high student, I was coveting the things that were in the paper. And it didn't matter what it was, but I would look at the paper every week, look at it, and, oh, there's what I've always wanted. Now, I didn't always want it before I looked at the paper, but as soon as I looked at it, it's something that I've always wanted. See, so I put it in my mind, and it became part of who I wanted to be. Listen to Luke 6:45. It says, "The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks what it is filled in his heart." Whatever you put into your heart is what's going to come out here. 2 weeks ago, I asked you not to think about a pink elephant. How many thought about a pink elephant when I said that? Yeah. Once I put it into your mind, you couldn't help thinking of a pink elephant. You know, I've heard several people say that they don't have a photographic memory and it's hard to memorize. And we see these Awana kids and they memorize. They just blow my mind how much they can memorize. Those kids, I would say, have a photographic memory, some of them anyways. And all of you, I would say, have a photographic memory because we take in things. We take in things. And our mind remembers that and it comes out right here. So what are you putting in? What are you putting in? Input, output. What goes in is what comes out. Romans 7:24. "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" Paul realizes his own wickedness, and it's to my understanding that this is the point we all need to be at. We need to understand our wickedness before we can come to understand God's redemptive power. You know, if we understand, oh, Jesus saves, he came down and hung on the cross for our sins and do nothing about it, what good is that? But it isn't until we understand our own wickedness that we can come to him in repentance. Romans 13:14 says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to lust." What's he saying? Don't feed the lust. Don't feed the ugliness that's in this world by putting it into your mind. Two sections here in Matthew 5 21 and 22 say, "Have you not heard that it is said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment'? But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment." See, that's where murder starts, in our heart. If you're angry, step back, be careful. Where is that going to lead? And then in verses 27 and 28 of Matthew 5, "Have you not heard that it is said, 'You shall not commit adultery'? But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Sin starts right here. And it really starts what we take in. What are we taking in, friends? What are we taking in? We ought to do a heart check to make sure that we are not making provision for sin in our life. Do not let the devil get a foothold. Do not let the devil get a foothold. Make sure that you're putting good things in, then you will get good things out. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation." We know that. All we have to do is look at our prayer list this morning. "In this world you will have tribulation. But take courage." Jesus says, "I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world." Jesus came to give us life, but so many times the things that we put into our life spoil what he has done for us. We harbor bitterness and install pure thoughts in our hard drive. Covet things, even when God has given us so much. Matthew 7:25 says, "Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord." I should really stop there, but Paul goes on, "So then, in one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other hand, with my flesh, the law of sin." It's kind of like that little picture with the little white angel on one corner and Satan on the other corner, and they're fighting inside of you. Paul is realizing here that it's Jesus that he needs to worship. It's Jesus. I mentioned last week Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, and I believe that we should probably memorize this text and then use it maybe every day or even every evening before we put our head on the pillow. "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If you know there is anything in your heart that is not right with him, confess it before the Lord and pursue Jesus. Pursue righteousness by transforming your mind and thinking about righteous things, as Paul 12 says. Amen.